You're listening to the Google Ads Podcast, brought to you by Solutions 8, the Google Ads agency.
Today is this hyper-segmentation. Tell us a little bit about that, how you've been using it primarily in e-commerce, or this is more broad industry-wide?
This would be broad industry-wide for specifically e-commerce, any industry. Okay. And like my official title, Google kind of made it obvious that titles don't matter, like Performance Max, which is why my recommendation is to pause it, because it doesn't max out your performance. And the hyper-segmentation of standard shopping campaign is where I think the industry is moving towards. I'm pioneering that with some case studies. But this is the big thing that I saw, is that Performance Max does a decent job at getting you good visibility and going after new and existing customers, yada, yada. We beat that horse to death. What I've been testing is a different variation of standard shopping down to SPACs, single product ad campaigns, which is really what they are. And what I've been doing is a kind of a three-step process. Step one, I take all of my products of a manufacturer into one standard shopping campaign, and I throw a bunch of traffic at it. Usually the bidding strategy is max clicks, or like with a bid cap so I can gain that data, or a low TROAS goal campaign, which is like a 50% TROAS in one standard shopping campaign with, let's say, 300 SKUs. I then find what I call like the high-low, which is there's Pareto's rule always happens, especially just Google will force a Pareto rule. 80% of your sales will come from 20% of your items. So I take those 20% of my items and I break out individual standard shopping campaigns for them with a dedicated daily ad spend that is safe. If you think about a campaign that spends $50 a day, that's a simple campaign. Now get 10 of those. Now you're spending $500 a day. And the individual campaigns are not spending enough to be risky, but they're spending enough on that product that was more than what Performance Max was dedicating to that product. So when you look at a Performance Max campaign, everyone's done this. In the last 10 days, I sort descending by clicks, and I have one product with 3,000 clicks, and my next product down has 200. So you're like, man, I really wish you would diversify my spend and spend more on the products that are selling. We're forcing that to happen. And I can screen share here and give you an example of what this looks like. And so what you'll see here is I'm selling bricks primarily. I have a lot of products in this account. For just a dumb example of all the products that are available, I have 3,162 SKUs. So I have a ton of SKUs, and they're from every company you can imagine. Now, things like Dolce & Gabbana, the Samsonite, all the other ones. I said, hey, when I ran all 3,000, bricks started to come out on top. So I'm running a bricks, what they call catch-all, which is the original. This is the campaign that I've used over the course of a few months to learn what sells and what doesn't. So this is that campaign here. You see how I have a high cost and conversions, and then watch the spend level. The cost kind of was reduced down. Now, still working fairly well. This is where we pulled a lot of spend back because we're getting ready for like Friday, Saturday, Monday. But I was able to reduce a bunch of spend and break things out. So now that I've taken my standard shopping campaign and segmented them into multiple different standard shopping campaigns, I have now a product line in a manufacturer that has one SKU with variants. And what this does is it allows me actually to crowdsource all of the quality search terms for all of the best performing products. Here's what I mean by that. In the last 30 days, when I look at my search terms for my bricks campaign as an example, search term contains bricks. So this is just consolidating to my campaigns that are running, not my Samsonite and the other stuff. If you're hearing it in an audio form, I'm showing my search terms across all of my bricks campaigns. And we can see that someone types in bricks luggage. They click on an X collection and they buy those. They type in bricks luggage again, and a different person, they click on a Sienna and buy that. Someone types in bricks luggage, they buy Ulysses. So I can see that the search terms are all the same, except for when they really want like something specific, which doesn't happen very often. They're looking for bricks luggage, and I'm saying, which one of my best-selling items would you like to see? And now I get to own also the search engine, which means someone types in bricks luggage, you'll see my Sienna, my Bellagio, my X collection. Why? It's because I have my Sienna, my Bellagio, and my X collection running as campaigns individually. I'm entering in to multiple auctions in one Google Ads account by allowing these campaigns to all show up for the same search terms, and Google will give me multiple placements. I beat the manufacturer. I show up more often than anybody else. I beat Neiman Marcus. They're not even on the first part here. And this is me using high TROAS goals. I'm sniping these clicks, essentially. And what happens here on a micro level is because I'm only spending $50 a day across a higher AOV type of account. If I spend $73 to make one sale, I get a 250 ROAS. If I spend $57 to make two sales, I get 1,000 ROAS. If I spend $32 to make one sale, that's 700 ROAS. Now, I actually made $2,000 yesterday. This is only showing 1,000 because Google sucks at attribution, which we already know that. I made $2,000 here. And I'm only running Google. There is no other traffic. There's no social traffic. It's just search and direct. That's it. So I know that I've actually made 2,000. This will show 1,000. But now I spent 500 to make 2,000. That's a 4X. And only three campaigns out of 11 had a sale. And I still 4X'd because I'm not going deep into a risk in any specific
area. So you're limiting your risk by the individual campaigns, but you're also maximizing the amount of the coverage for any search term and all the variability that comes with those search terms. Yeah. So you're limiting downside risk. It's almost like, look at this as like stock trading. You have limit orders and you have stop loss.
Well-diversified portfolio.
100%. But the marketer in me says, once you get data here and you start seeing that maybe just the generic term bricks luggage, for example, is the one that's bringing in the most sales, would you start scaling up that individual campaign or would you just do, you'd have to gather data over the course of weeks. What's your scaling step on this?
Yep. Because I actually like scaling small campaigns because they can react the fastest with the least amount of risk. You can see that every one of these campaigns, if I say X collection, it's limited by budget,
of course.
But I can go to 180 without hitting a point of diminishing returns. Or I could take this Bellagio and I can go from 60 to 180 also without hitting a point of diminishing returns. Each one of these things going from 60 to 120, that's not a big move to Google. Now doing that 10 times for 10 campaigns, that's $600 more per day. So when you're looking at here, for example, this last, since October 1st, I said, what if I put 100% more in ad spend into it? I got 137% more conversions. Those are now a lot less risky. So my ROAS actually got 7% better after I put 105% more budget into it. And looking at the back end, when I was looking at just the top line metrics, my sales in September were 32,000. My sales in October were 70,000. So I more than doubled my actual top line numbers. PMax usually doesn't do that. PMax, you made more sales. And we're like, no, we didn't. So this is actually realistically moving in the right direction because it's really low risk 10 times and with a very high amount of visibility into Google.
Fascinating. Like you don't really care about new and returning customers here. Going back to your first nugget, this could be new and returning customers, which I think you gave the example there of this particular business. But because it's such small budgets, it's like you're controlling it. You're really limiting that downside. But then you're obviously using the data to be able to scale up. And that's doubling sales within a month, basically using this strategy and this strategy alone, if I'm not mistaken.
And the best part is I have 3,000 SKUs from 25 different manufacturers. This is
one. Just bricks.
Yeah. One. Just bricks. So I said, hey, you know what? Let's do this again.
Let's do this again.
Let's do this with Samsonite. So I did this and said, hey, all right, Samsonite has 10 times the amount of search volume than Bricks does, according to Google Trends and Google's Keyword Planner. So I said, you know what? Let me start this campaign on the 3rd. And since the 3rd, what you have to be is good stewards of workload, which means don't be afraid to get in there and keep making a bunch of changes in the right direction. So since the 3rd, I made 483 changes. I am negative matching everything that is not Samsonite because I really want good placements for Samsonite like I have good placement for Bricks. So I'm excluding everything. I'm blah, 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 blah. So I have 70 negative keywords on the 7th. I have added another 30 on the 4th. I keep going in there and just hacking off.
A lot of those negative keywords are really top of funnel. I don't know what I want yet. Kind of searches. Like I want a bag that's this dimension kind of thing.
Yeah. 18-inch laptop rolling bag. Samsonite has one of those, but I'd rather show up for a person that wants to buy a Samsonite. So what's nice about that is as soon as I am on day four of my negative keyword saga and added 400 negative keywords that weren't from the keywords that I wanted, that fifth day, yesterday, for example, I had 23 clicks total. I had two sales. Conversion rate is 8%. I spent $42 to make $612. Beautiful. So now Samsonite garment luggage, one click sale. Samsonite outlet. I'm running a, I have a sale that's permanent. I have taken my price. I've marked it up. I run a permanent 20% off sale that pushes me 10% below MAP, which is my limit. And now I, to direct response, always have the best sale at the best price for the shortest amount of conversion path, where 23 clicks makes 2 sales.
Wow.
Yep. So that's why when you look at Briggs Luggage, 20% off, 10% off, 10% off, 10% off, 20% off, 20% off, 10%. I am the only one running a sale. You see me everywhere for any type of search for all of the best performing products. If you're buying a Briggs from me on Google today, you're buying it from me.
Yeah. And we're looking at the screen here and it basically dominates the entire shopping row in essence, especially the ones where you don't have to just click to the right. So I've always wondered, when you're doing these sorts of things, we're looking at it on desktop. Do you view, do you cross-check everything on mobile as well to make sure that you're appearing there, breaking it out by device, doing like what, where is, where does that enter into the equation here? As, or are there certain purchases that you found in the case of like luggage, for example, that's a desktop purchase because I need to be in front, I need to analyze, I need to look at it, give much consideration there. So there it is.
And I actually take a harder focus on mobile. 35% of all my ad clicks, or 35% of all my conversions take 2 ad clicks or more to purchase. And it's usually a broad manufacturer search and then a secondary model search. Right. That's where the catch-all will win if it's not one of my best performing items. That's my backup. So if you're looking for Briggs and you click on the Bellagio and you find the Ulysses or something like that that I'm not actually having a dedicated campaign for because it doesn't sell too well, when you come back and you Google that specific one that you found on my site, that catch-all campaign catches you. So it's all based on direct response. And it's all based on, are you looking for one of the products that usually sells 80% of the time? That's what dominates the SERP on both desktop and mobile. Because I know that I'm going to get cross-pollination of that traffic between desktop and mobile all the time. And when these are $350 and $750 AOVs, you're probably going to have someone that will find you on mobile, then go to the desktop and purchase it. Because when you're buying $750 luggage, you're probably not a Gen Z. So desktop is going to be a little more favorable.
Makes sense.
So I need to show up for both those people as well. But yeah, that's the hyper segmentation of standard shopping. And I just did it with Briggs. We went from 30,000 down to up to 70,000. So what's funny is now this company, when this kind of continues, we're almost $1 million annual sales off of my first product line that I've done this with. And I'm going to go do it 25 more times.
But like the search term for Briggs, I would imagine you're showing up for that. Just that unto itself, or that's not even a search. Like you have Briggs luggage, you have Briggs, a lot of different sort of variations, but Briggs itself, somebody's looking for it because they want to go to the Briggs site is I'm thinking, but you appear there as well, or is that not part of the strategy?
Briggs doesn't actually sell as well. I don't negate it. Probably one out of every 20 searches is just the term Briggs. I think it's also because Google predictability. When you go to Google and type in B-R-I-C apostrophe S, it says Briggs Luggage, and just people click on that. So what Google is predicting is what people usually search for, which is what usually sells. If you type in Briggs is good, what's funny is you can also actually type in Briggs Luggage, and I have a search ad that is also right underneath it. And I'll outrank a lot of times Briggs themselves on search, primarily also on mobile. So what's interesting is I'll have a search and a shopping ad. My search ad, horrible performance. I even have the same, like it's right underneath Briggs. There's Briggs Luggage, 20% off all Briggs products. I get tons of clicks on that. As I think that your buyers, when they make their buying decision, they look at that's the color, that's the size, that's the product, that's the price, that's the shipping, that's the discount, and they pop it. I'll probably get some return traffic from the search, but search and shopping is a 6-to-1 ratio of conversions.
Interesting. Yeah. Plus it's just it's a visual purchase too. There's that element to it.
Why would you click on a shopping ad? You're looking for the product you want at the best price, period.
Thanks for listening to the Google Ads podcast. For more ways to grow your business with Google Ads, you can subscribe to the Solutions 8 YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. And if you'd like to work with the best Google Ads agency in the world, you can visit Solutions8 at sol8.com.
Kasim here. If you're running Google Ads, even if your campaigns are successful, my years of experience have taught me that there are almost always enormous improvement opportunities. Now, what if the best Google Ads agency in the world was willing to review your Google Ads campaigns for free and provide you with a comprehensive action plan, no cost or obligation? Notice, I didn't say audit or evaluation. I said action plan, a bullet point by bullet point breakdown of exactly what needs to be done to improve your Google Ads campaigns. Yours to keep, no cost or obligation. Head over to solate.com to get a free Google Ads action plan customized for your business. No strings attached. That's SOL8.com. SOL, the number 8.com.